I want to quickly mention something about worship. Wednesday night, the Spirit of God said that there was people that were struggling. It was like there was a ceiling. And I saw in the Spirit, it was a ceiling of oppression from the enemy. And no matter how hard you try, you just can't seem to break through that. And the Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke. And so we laid hands on people and broke that off people. And people said they instantaneously felt different. And they were changed. And that's what the anointing can do. But my thing I want to say is, the devil's going to try again. If there's one thing we can say about him, is he's persistent. And the Bible says in Isaiah 61:3, it says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of oppression. What's that spirit of oppression? That ceiling that's there, that's just holding you down, that darkness that just doesn't seem to get better. The Bible says the spirit or the garment of praise will demolish that spirit of oppression. Now, just like in winter at times, you know, I don't feel like, you know, when my kids were little, it was really a pain to get them ready to go out in the winter time, you know, and you didn't feel like putting their coat and stuff on, but you did it because it was the right thing to do and it was the blessed thing to do. Well, praise, when you're under oppression, the last thing you're going to feel like doing is praising. But we're not feeling people, we're faith people. And the Bible tells us we don't have to feel like praising, we just have to put it on. And I think about that song, and if you're going through oppression and you're going through depression, just walking through your house, great is. And if you just keep doing that, even when you don't feel it, start stirring it up. It'll get your focus on Him. That anointing will set in, and you watch, it'll just drive that thing out. I'm just telling you. Amen. Listen, when your mechanic tells you you need an oil change, you don't argue with him.
Come on. Come on.
Amen. When your dentist says, hey, you need a filling, you got a cavity, you don't argue with them. When your spiritual guide and leader tells you how to get free of some things, don't argue with me. Just do it, praise God. You watch it happen, glory to God. Living proof, amen. Hallelujah. Well, before we get into the service today, I have a novel to read. You did this. We've been sharing testimonies around here, and I did get a highlighter out because we just couldn't do it all. I had to cut out some of this stuff. So go to her for all the other little details, but I hit the high points on this. And we've been sharing testimonies. You know, we've had miracles, signs, and wonders in this church. I'm talking about impossibilities being made possible. The incurable being cured. Amen. Situations turning around. Why? That's who we deal with. We deal with the God of the impossible. We deal with the God of the supernatural. And one thing I love about Michelle's testimony, I do encourage you to keep getting your testimonies into me, is Michelle has a combo of a lot of different things that over the years your pastor just really tries to hammer home to you. And you're going to see a combo of things and how she received many of the things that she got to walk into since she started coming to this church. And one of the things, I'm going to tell you here real quick, the three things that she put into practice to receive is Michelle's very faithful to be watered with the Word of God. And she says that in here about how she received some of her healing. Some of her healing came from just sitting in church, hearing the Word of God and receiving that. And that's what that turns into. The Word, the Bible says He sent His Word and healed him. The Word will set you free from what you're going through if you'll submit to it and be under it. The other thing that is in here that you'll see that when I read this is that Michelle submitted to a pastor and the pastoral anointing in her life and received blessings from my ministry. And then also you'll see that Michelle was faithful to be in those guest minister meetings that Pastor Mike's always telling you that these ministers have equipment, anointings, mantles, supernatural things on their life that are meant to bless you and to help you. And so many people, they go without because they're not faithful to sit and hear the Word. They go without because they're not faithful to be under their pastor and be under that pastoral anointing. They think they can do it on their own. And a lot of people don't receive because they don't make the effort to go into the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher's meetings, which Jesus said, without them, you can't be perfected. So let this be a lesson to us all. Amen. So let me read this and go through this here. Can anybody get me a chair and a water? I'm just kidding. I love how much it is because it shows how much God's done. She said, I came into this church with a laundry list of diagnosis. And I'd already had multiple surgeries. So she came in kind of a mess, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. like a lot of us. I came into church a mess. But God's a mess cleaner upper. Amen. He's the original Mr. Clean. I don't know if he's got a bald head, but he's the original Mr. Clean. Praise God, he'll clean you up. And I'm just going to go through what she said and highlight some of this. A complete ACL tear and meniscus tear. While exercising, I tore the ACL in my knee. The knee was swollen, very painful, and very unstable. The doctor examined me and sent me for an MRI right away. The doctor said I would need to have the ACL repaired. This would also keep me out of work for a considerable amount of time, but I was not in a place financially at that point that I could take time off from work. Now, this is where the guest minister part comes into play. She said, I just started going to family church. I was a spiritual baby, but Pastor Patsy Caminetti was in Fredonia Church visiting. And she asked for anybody with knee problems to come up, and you came up for the knee problems. And she asked me what was going on with the knees, and I told her, and she laid hands on me. And as I was walking back to my seat, I remember feeling warmth in my knees. And long story short, from that point on, she began to work out again, and from that point, had no pain in the knee from that point. Well, the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's what the word says. We believe that. MS, or multiple sclerosis. She said, at its worst, I could not walk unassisted. My left leg dragged behind me and my balance was off. I knew what I wanted to say, but I had trouble speaking. I had widespread pain, muscle spasms, feelings of hot or cold water running down my face, arms and legs, sensations of bees stinging me all over, severe fatigue, headaches, memory issues, nausea, and also what was called an MS hug, which felt like someone tied a wide belt around you right under your ribs and pulled it tight while your muscles spasmed underneath it. I was told eventually I would probably need a wheelchair and was told how to get a handicap sticker and to apply for disability. A nurse came to my house to teach my husband and children how to give me daily injections in case I was unable to. That was injections of the steroids, correct? Of what? All the medicine. Daily injection. Daily injection to help her with this, so that they're coming and teaching the family. The injections would give me site reactions. My skin would welt, get hot and itchy. The medication would destroy the fat deposits around the injection site. I would have to take heavy-duty muscle relaxers and controlled substance just to stay awake. I had hands laid on me in this church by Pastor Mike, that's me, and was in faith for the MS would be gone. Reverend Annie Durant. Does that name sound familiar? She's going to be here next week. Praise God. She came to our church, and shortly after that, Pastor sent me a message the last day she was here and asked why I had not gone up for healing. I told him my healing was coming, but he said that I didn't. This is where you need a pastor. But she said, but I told her that you don't understand the type of healing anointing that Reverend Annie has on her life. And she said, I trust Pastor Mike with all my heart, so I went up for healing that night. The symptoms did not leave me right away. In fact, the symptoms got a little worse. That's what the devil likes to do. But I held fast to my faith. I knew it was just the devil trying to keep me from what was already mine. Then one day I woke up and knew in my heart that it was gone. The MS was gone. Just like Pastor said, you'll know when the morning star arises in your heart. And I did. She said, all the symptoms are gone. I am no longer on any medications given to me for that disease. And I can also be out in hot weather. That was something I had left out. But anyways, that's incurable. Yeah. Cured. The next thing, spots before my eyes. I can only describe it as a bunch of spots that would rush into a tunnel fast. Kind of like the way the stars look if you were flying through space in your Millennial Falcon. Did I do that justice? A Star Wars reference. She made sure I got that in there. She said she would leave this church if I didn't. So I thought, we need her. We'll get that in there. It made it very hard to drive and would give me headaches. Pastor Mike laid hands on me again. Praise God, the spots are gone. This healing was immediate. Sometimes we see immediate healing. Sometimes we see over time. But as long as it comes. Heart arrhythmia. My heartbeat would stop, then speed up and pound out of my chest and stop for a few beats again. My blood pressure would shoot up dangerously high numbers. I had ER visits, even spent the night in the hospital to be evaluated. The heartbeat became so irregular that my doctor sent me to an electrophysiologist. the doctor that installs pacemakers. I was on 200 milligrams of a medication to control my heartbeat, something that someone my age should never take over 100 milligrams of. This was the first step. Future steps would have been a pacemaker. Pastor Nancy Dufresne will be here in October. Laid hands on me and told me, when she laid hands on me, that other things were being made right in my body. But again, the symptoms amped up. It didn't mean that it wasn't working, just the devil playing his tricks. So one night, Pastor Mike called out for healing for hearts and laid hands on me. Immediately, my heartbeat was steady. My blood pressure is great. And following the Pastor Mike plan of diet, exercise, and rest, I am down to one pill a day instead of four. Praise God. Asthma, fibromyalgia, and granuloma annulare. Are you just making this stuff up now? Those aren't real things. Granuloma annulare. Did I say that right? Wow. I'll give myself a little credit for that one. Asthma. I had an inhaler that I would regularly use because the asthma was bothering me. It felt like someone covered my airway with a lid. I would cough and try to catch my breath. Fibromyalgia, widespread in my body, those two things. I have no idea why they left, but they did. I haven't used medication in years for them. That's called sitting under the watering of the Word. And the Bible says He sent His Word, Psalms 107, verse 20, and healed them. Granuloma annulare, skin condition I've had since a child. Raised red areas that flare up and get itchy in the sun, gone. Just like Pastor Nancy said, other things are being made right in your body. And now she makes up another one here. Pulsatile tinnitus. That's real? Thanks. I could hear my heartbeat in my left ear, but it sounded like a whooshing when you hear a baby's heartbeat on ultrasound. I was sent to a specialist who told me that you were a mess. My goodness, you are a mess. I went to a specialist who told me that two things can cause the symptoms, a blood clot or an aneurysm. I wasn't worried. I went for an MRI on my head and neck, and there's no blood clot or aneurysm, and the whooshing sound has left me. Amen. Amen. If you're sitting there thinking, well, that's good for her, no, he'll do the same for you. Do what she did, you'll get what she got. Be here when the doors are open. She's here when the doors are open. Be here when the guest ministers are here. She's here when the guest ministers are here. I'm just telling you. See, people think God's just going to do something. No, no, no. We see in the Word, to get from God, there's a God side and a man side. God doesn't just push the blessings over the cliff of heaven and they fall on your head. No. He says what to do, tells you how to get it, expects you to do it, and then if you'll do it, you'll get it. Amen. It's not hard. It's the best life ever. I also should mention that prior to coming to Family Church, I suffered from postpartum depression. The depression and anxiety got worse. I was on much medication for it. I did manage to get off the medication, but the depression and anxiety were still kind of lurking in the background. She said, I never went up to receive healing for this, but as soon as I planted, well, the Bible says, if you'll plant in the house of the Lord, you'll flourish. Depression's not flourishing. She says, as soon as I planted myself in this church and started hearing and hearing the Word, it was gone. Amen. I am no longer fearful, worried, or depressed because now I know and stand in my authority. And she has a couple other things that she's believing God. What did you say? There was 13 on the list, and you got 10 of them? 10 out of 13, and the other three are going away too. Amen. Praise God. Let's just give God glory for that testimony. Father, You're faithful. You are faithful. We praise You this morning. Testimony after testimony. If people would only plant, if people would only do what You've said to do, their finances would change. Their health would change. Their kids would change. Yeah. Those situations that seem impossible would change. So I pray, Father. I pray, Father, that people would get a revelation. And Father, that people would get hungry for the things that You have for them, starting right now. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Make sure your kids are quiet, kids. And we thank You, Lord, for it. We praise You. Father, as I preach the Word this morning, I think it's the beginning of our help. It's a new day for us. And Father, I thank You that what I say this morning will be a blessing, will help us, will go forward changed, will go forward blessed. And I thank You'll speak to every single one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now all the kids, look up at me. This is where Pastor Mike's going to preach. I want all the kids' eyes on me. I see some kids not looking at me. Look at me. It's time to pay attention now, all right? It's time to be quiet. It's time to sit there good. It's time to listen and time to take notes. And we'll have a blessing for you at the end. Amen? Amen? All right. Let's go into the Word this morning. Praise God. Go to Matthew 12 and verse 25. Matthew 12 and verse 25. Now, for those of you that are visiting with us or newer with us, you might not know some things that have been spoken that are destined for this church. But one of the things that we've seen over time and that's been ministered to me personally by several different ministers who don't know anything about me personally. I don't talk to them on the phone. They come into this church. Several ministers have ministered to us that my ministry and the churches that I pastor will have signs, wonders, and miracles in them. And we've seen that, and we see that that's a flow in the Bible of signs, wonders, and miracles, that a lot of people believed on Jesus just because of the signs, wonders, and miracles. That many people got saved in the Bible after signs, wonder, and a miracle happened. Now, the reason is because the Bible says it confirms the Word. That the Word goes forth, but, you know, God doesn't expect you just to believe Him on Word alone. He says, I'm a show and tell God. And He does things to confirm that Word that was in our heart. And so we've seen signs, wonders, and miracles happen in this church. I mean, Michelle's testimony, we've heard from so many people. The Word is real. And God wants to do something. And there are people in this community, and there are people in this region, in this area, that are outside the walls of these church. They need a touch from Jesus. They don't even know that life can be better. They don't even know that in this church was a former addict, was a former alcoholic, was a former gambling addict, was a former just so depressed, talking about loaded .357 Magnum, hammer cocked in my mouth. That's where I came from. But it was the power of God, and God wants to take that power and minister it to us and minister it to this place. And so we've been having ministers keep saying these things over and over. Well, I've been crying out for these things since I was a young man after I got saved, because I had such a supernatural encounter with God that I was so hungry for Him and what He could do. And I've been crying out, Lord, we see in the Word, You used miracle signs and wonders. The apostles and the disciples, miracle signs and wonders. And it got people saved, and people need to be saved. There's people dying and going to hell. That ought to bother you. That ought to stir you up. That ought to motivate you to want to start doing something, because every day people are dying without Jesus, and they don't have to. And so I've been crying out for these things, and the last one that we had was a couple weeks ago. My pastor, the pastor of the Fredonia Church, was here, Pastor Michael Laketic, and if you guys could get that word ready, he prophesied or spoke something. Now, he stands in a different office than I do. He stands in that office of a prophet, and a prophet, you see in the Bible, they're seers. They see into the future. They're shown things. Well, I want to show you what he, or put it over, we don't have it on video, but show you what he said, or have you listen to what he said concerning this church and where we're going, to set the stage for where we're going to talk about today. Go ahead and play that
this
word.
This church, you've said it, you have established it, and we rejoice in it. Look what you have done. And this is just the beginning, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, just the beginning. If it could be told you, if you could see over the horizon of time that which I have ordained for you, you surely would shout and dance about. For this is just the beginning. This is just the small phase of your ministry, Pastor Mike. Just the beginning. And as you're going to walk in more and more, as you grow in grace and walk with me, saith the Lord of hosts, I'm going to enlarge the borders of your tent. And from this place shall other places be established. Other deposits of truth and ministry will come forth from this place. Not only from you, saith the Lord, but those who sit underneath you. For you are called to be a father of the faith. You are called to raise up others, and people will grow underneath your ministry, saith the Lord. And you will be in a place where people look to you for wisdom and counsel as you've looked to your father in the faith. And so this, and mark this, saith the Lord, it shall surely come to pass in these days.
Hallelujah. Now, that's attached to people's lives being changed. So many of you can say, and I mentioned this earlier, that God doesn't come out of heaven to change people's lives. He anoints men and women of God. And there's so many people in here, Michelle being one of them, that could say, you know, Pastor Mike, through your ministry and what God did through you, my life's different now. And that's not bragging on me, because the man Mike Anderson's not a very impressive creature. I told you what my life used to look like without Jesus. But we see in the Bible that God anoints people with different gifts and abilities and things, and to help bring people up higher. And so when he talks about the ministry going forward, that isn't a raise Pastor Mike Anderson up, because even Jesus himself in Matthew, Mark chapter 6, you can look this up, couldn't do what he needed to do on the earth if the people did not cooperate. And Pastor Michael declared that and said where we're going, and we're headed to some great places, and it goes in line with what we've already heard with all these other ministers. But then he talked about your role in all of it. And how we'll never get into it without your faithfulness to pray, your faithfulness to be on board, your faithfulness to go forth. We can't do it without it. Doesn't matter how anointed Jesus thinks I am or says I am. Doesn't matter. You have a vital role in this. Amen? So when we see a principle in the Word that when, and just like in Michelle's testimony where she would have hands laid on her or something good would happen to her, the symptoms would get worse. Well, we see in the Bible a precedent that when you're about to walk into something great and something amazing is about to happen, the devil will not let that go unchallenged. Why? He doesn't want you to walk into that blessing. He doesn't want you to walk into that increase. He wants to keep you out of it. Well, we've seen that in my life, seen that in this church, we see that in your lives. You've testified different things to me. Well, now the prophet stood up and said that we're going into some things, that from that place, from this place, great things are going to happen. Well, how many of you know the devil hears that? And the devil also hears that you have a huge part in this. And it's true. That's not me just blowing smoke at you. We'll never get into what we have to get into, which is glorious. It's magnificent what awaits us. Miracles, signs and wonders, people's lives being radically transformed and changed. You have a part to play in that. And so what the enemy's going to try to do is he's going to try to attack. And he's going to try to keep you from being faithful. And he's going to try to get you discouraged. He's going to try to get you weighted down. He's going to try to get you to back off things, and we can't do it. And one of the main ways, we looked at this a little bit on Wednesday night, and I want to continue this, we see in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25, Matthew 12 and verse 25 says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And we looked at Wednesday night. Here we are. We're a house, aren't we? This is the house of the Lord. God has a plan for us. And the Bible says that if the enemy can divide the house, what's that mean? Not unity. Get people against each other, it won't stand. And guess what? This house divided, we'll never walk into the things that God has for us. We'll never accomplish what God has for us, which will include so many of your friends, family members, people that, there are people in here like me, that right now on the outside of these walls, you would look at them and you'd say, they're not a candidate for change. They're not a candidate for church. No, that's me. That's a lot of you that have been changed, because when you experience God's goodness and how much He loves you and cares for you, you want more of Him. And our people in our lives, co-workers, friends, family members, whatever, that are hurting, that are trapped in these things, that are oppressed in these things, they need that miracle touch from heaven. And let me tell you something. Outside of these walls, all they have is natural help. And there's just certain things in life that natural help, medicine and counseling and encouragement will not fix. But God is bigger and more powerful and stronger. And we need to take Him to this region in this world. And I can't do it on my own. I need your help. So the devil's going to try to divide us. And we looked in the Bible. We saw in the book of Acts, in the beginning there in Acts, how they had miracle signs and wonders. They had great power that happened in the church. And the one thing that was common in that church is the Bible says they were one heart, one mind, one soul. They weren't on their own program. They were in unity. Why? Because when there's unity, the Bible says about agreement, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. There's something about the power of agreement. Remember he said, if two or you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it'll be done for them. Amos said, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? A kingdom divided cannot stand. We have to stay in unison. But the one thing that the devil's going to try to do is come into our church and divide us. Because let me show you what the Bible says is the most excellent way that we're going to walk into the miracles, the healings, the signs and the wonders. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. So he's going to attack in the areas that if he can get a hold on us, It's going to cause us to struggle. Now, don't tune me out because you think this is just a message as a whole for the body of Christ. No, this message will have implications for your own life because I have seen personally healings be withheld from people because of this. I've seen financial situations not turned for years because of this. I've been told specifically not to pray for somebody's healing. I can pray for them, but don't pray for their healing because they won't get healed because of this situation. So this isn't just talking general, although our attitude should be seek first the kingdom. And then these things will be added to us. There'll be stuff for you in it too personally. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 says this. The manifestation of the Spirit. What's the manifestation of the Spirit? When God manifests Himself. How many of you know God's everywhere all the time? But God's not manifesting Himself everywhere all the time. Right? If God was manifesting Himself everywhere all the time, there'd be nobody in any hospital beds. There'd be no sickness anywhere. But the Bible says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. What's that mean? That when God manifests, people profit. Well, duh, of course. He's good and merciful, kind. He's a healer. He's a blesser. I don't care what you've been taught about God. Pastor Mike, right out of the Bible, is telling you He's good. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He's not condemning you for your past. He says, you're here now. Let's go forward. Praise God. Amen. He loves you. I don't know what... Religion will tell you He's mad at you and you're not good enough. It's just a bunch of garbage. Let me tell you something. If you're here today, this is the beginning of the best days of the rest of your life. If you'll just do what that lady did over there, I'm telling you right now, 6 months to a year from now, you won't even recognize your life. The things that will happen to you, if I can just get you to listen to me, if I can just get you to show up, just get you to plant, watch what God will do for you. Praise God. It's true. And so it says, when the Spirit manifests, people profit. Now, what is the manifestation of the Spirit? Well, that the God manifesting is what we want. That's where the miracles would be. That's where the power for healing, the power to break the chains off people. And it mentions some of them here. It says, I'm going to just drop down to verse 9. It says, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing. That's when God manifests gifts of healing. People just getting healed. To another, like when Michelle came up for the heart thing and the eye thing, and she said she immediately got her healing. Well, that's not how it usually works, because usually it takes like a faith and patience, and you're believing for that. But that was an instant manifestation. Yes, the anointing was present. Yes, her faith was present. But there was also a gift of the Spirit, or a manifestation of a gift of healing, where it's instantaneously healed. But then look what it says here. To another, the working of miracles. Now, he's telling us here that there's 9 gifts of the Spirit or 9 manifestations, but the two I'm focusing on right now are healings and miracles, because that's what we're believing God for. That's what's been prophesied. That's what's been testified over this church, over this ministry. So how do we get into the miracles, the signs, and the wonders? Because if you'll read through these verses, the Bible says we can't just turn it on and off. Listen, if we could turn it on and off, again, we'd go into every sick room in every hospital, turn on a gift of healing or working a miracle, and we'd clean out the hospital rooms, but you can't do that. The Bible says it's as the Spirit of God wills, as He wills it. But thankfully, He gave us His Word to tell us how we can make these things happen. Would you like to know what they are? Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30, go to verse 30. Have all the gifts of healings? The answer is no, not everybody operates in that. Do all speak with tongues in the ministry gift? No. Do all interpret? No. But look what he says in verse 31. So he just got done telling us in the verses before, in the beginning of chapter 12, the 9 gifts of the Spirit, which included 2 of them, healings and miracles. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts. We know in the Word that we're to hunger, thirst. One place says to desire, chapter 14 says to desire the spiritual gifts, to covet them, or I like to say it this way, to crave them. Why? I covet and crave the spiritual gifts because I covet and crave people profiting. And the Bible says when God manifests, people profit. Well, yeah, because they get healed. Miracles happen. Signs and wonders happen. So when he says, covet them, hunger and thirst for these things, desire them, you can hear me praying in my prayer time, private prayer time, and even in front of the church, Father, we crave, we covet, and we desire the manifestation of the Spirit. We're hungry for these things. We want you to manifest. Why? People need His touch. And he says to do that. But I want to show you what he says here. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Yes, desire, hunger for these. You ought to be on your face saying, Father, miracles, signs and wonders, because there's people that you know, that you love, maybe even in your own life, you need a miracle. Hunger for these things. Hunger for these things. We see Jesus in Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 4, he did a miracle. In Mark chapter 5, he did two miracles. He gets to Mark chapter 6 and he can't do any miracles. It's not because his miracle ability stopped. It's not because God changed his mind. But the Bible said the people were ho-hum about him. They didn't hunger for it. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed or satisfied are they which hunger and thirst for my things. If we're going to be ho-hum about the gifts of the Spirit, and ho-hum about miracles, and ho-hum about gifts of healings, we won't see them. Because in Mark chapter 6, Jesus was ready, and God was ready, but the people were not ready. And so you ought to be hungering. What's that look like? Father, send the rain of the Holy Ghost. Father, send the miracles, the signs and the wonders. Stretch forth your hand to heal. What's that show? Hunger. Listen, when my daughter goes through Walmart and points at every little thing she wants on the shelf, it just goes in one ear, not the other. But if I take her there repeatedly and she keeps saying the same thing of something she wants and talks about it when she gets home, it shows me by her talking about it that she's got a little more desire, a little more hunger for that thing than anything else. Well, when we sit there every day, Father, miracles, signs, and wonders, just like the apostles prayed, stretch forth your hand to heal, stretch forth your hand to heal. We desire and crave. It shows God we're hungry. Yeah. Amen. Shows God we're hungry. So how do we get them? He says to desire and covet them. We should. But then he says in verse 31, yet I'll show you a more excellent way. He's saying, you want to get into these things? Covet them, hunger for them, desire them, crave them. But I'm going to show you even a higher way to get into them besides coveting, hungering, and thirsting for these things. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You still do those things because he said to do them. But he says, I'm going to show you even a better way. You want to find out what that way is? Chapter 13, verse 1 tells you. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity. Now that word charity there, everywhere else that word charity was translated charity in the Bible, was translated agape in the Greek, which is the word love. So just put love in there instead of charity. All newer translations get it right. I don't know what was wrong with the translators, but that word in the Greek is the word agape. Maybe you ever heard of agape love. Well, everywhere else it's in the Bible, they don't use the word charity. They actually spell it out as love. So he's saying love. So we're just going to interchange charity for love. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I've become sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove all mountains, and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. So what's he saying? You want to get into the miracle signs and wonders? Yes, covet them. Yes, crave them. Yes, desire. Yes, show God you're hungry. He says, but the more excellent way is make sure you're walking in love. That's what he said. What's the more excellent way than hungering, desiring, craving? Walking in love. It just is. Doesn't mean you throw out the hungering, the desiring, the craving. You walk in love. Look what it says in chapter 14 and verse 1. Follow after love. What should we be following? Love. Love. Where does love go? We go where love goes. Follow after love. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1, please. It says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. So we don't throw it away, but we know love's the higher way. It's the more excellent way. So this is what I'm trying to tell you. You want to see this church go to a level that, I mean, I'm talking, it'll spread like wildfire. We see precedence in the Bible. One miracle spread like wildfire. Bring in the incurable in here. Bring in the diseased. Bring in the impossible. Bring in someone that's just a kind of a throwaway in life that looks like there's not much for them in life. Bring them in here and watch God do something in their life and have that person walk out of here with an excitement and a passion and tell people, and it'll start spreading like wildfire. But how are we going to get into those things? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be because old Pastor Mikey Anderson's anointed. It's not even going to be just because we're hungering for them. It's going to be when this church, as a family, decides our steps, the way we're going to walk, we're going the love route.
Amen.
Yeah. We're going to be people of love. Well, go to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 13. Jesus is our example. Matthew 14 and verse 13. I'm so glad you're here. Matthew 14 and verse 13, praise God. God's going to do something for people in this area. You watch. Matthew 14 and verse 13. Look at this. Let's see. And when Jesus heard of it, he departed there by ship into a desert place. And when the people had heard thereof him, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth, look at this, and saw a great multitude. Now look at this. And was moved with compassion. What happened? Moved with compassion, and look at the result. And healed their sick. See, Jesus couldn't just do whatever Jesus wanted to do. Mark chapter 6 proved that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Jesus needed the people's cooperation. Well, Jesus also had to go through the more excellent way to get the gifts of the Spirit to manifest. What way did he go through? Love. Moved with compassion. What followed? Healing.
Amen.
Just one more. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40.
Glory to God.
And there came a leper to him, beseeching him. A leper. Now think about this. A leper. The lowest of the lows of the society. Someone you don't want to be around. Someone you don't want to brush up against. Someone you don't want to communicate with. Someone you don't want to be in close proximity, or you might get it. Okay? Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching and kneeling down to him, saying, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion. Wow. Put forth his hand and touched him. He touched the leper. And said unto him, I will be clean. Well, what paved the way for that miracle, sign, and wonder? Love. We could go through the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look at all the places that Jesus was motivated by love. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to get into some of these things, and people in our lives need some of these things. But until we say, sign me up for the love thing, until as individuals we decide, hey, I'm going the love route.
Amen.
Because it's going to take a unified body to get into it, not just Pastor Mike's anointing. It never will happen. We need to be set apart in this area, the area of love. When people come in, we ought to love on people. We ought to be kind to people, compassionate to people, sweet to people, patient with people. And we'll get into some of these things. Now go with me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Galatians 5 and verse 6. Now this is where you need to pay attention for your own life. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. For those that don't know, in the Old Testament, to be considered one of God's, the ritual you went through was circumcision. Well, now he's saying, now with Jesus, it doesn't matter. Circumcised or not circumcised, it doesn't matter. The only thing that does matter is faith, he says. See that there? Faith. Why? We know this. The Bible tells us that without faith, we can't please God. Without faith, we can't receive from God. Without faith, we can't overcome in this world. Without faith, we can't quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Faith is vital. It's everything to us. The Bible says in Mark 9:23, if you can have faith, then all things are possible. It's not if God wants to do it or not. It's if you can have faith for it. That's what the Word says. So he says it's not circumcision anymore or uncircumcision. It's faith. That's why we're a faith church and preach faith. But then he says, faith which worketh by love. Heather, would you please pull that up in the Amplified? Look at what it says about love here. We just got done saying to you, a ranting and raving, about how faith is important. For we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith. Faith is what moves mountains. Faith is what turns situations around. Faith is what causes what's not there to be there and what's there to leave.
Yeah.
Only faith Notice this, activated. I think of my cell phone. Cell phone can do a lot of things. It's a great blessing in my life. May I keep this close to me? It's got all my the Bible on it. It's got my all the messages on it from the people that I listen to. It's got appointments and things and notes and just important things on this phone. And I use it to make phone calls, ministry calls. I've helped people through this phone. But this phone can do a lot, but it can't do much of anything until it's activated. And then it says that your faith is activated and energized. That means it's powered. Well, I know this, if I use this long enough and don't plug it in, the battery's going to die, it's going to be no good to me. So a phone not activated and not energized, even though it has the potential, this phone has the potential to do great things, won't do me any good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, your faith has potential to do things that you never even dreamed were possible. The impossibles that are in your life, that are staring you in the face and saying, it will never change. Your money will never change. Your kids will never change. I have doctor's reports and I have financial reports to tell you it's never going to change. Faith steps in and says, oh, contraire, mon frère, I'm here and things will change. Because I'm a mountain moving force. I'm a devil pushing back force. That's what faith will do. But the Bible says your faith that can move mountains must be activated. And it must be powered or energized through love. What's that mean? You step out of love and your faith gets powered down. And your faith is like the cell phone that's just sitting there. Has potential to do things and bring great blessing, but until it's activated. And I've had people before that were told by God they went for years without getting their healing. And they finally asked the Lord and got serious about it. And the Lord said, you didn't forgive this person. You've been holding a grudge here. You've been doing this and that. And they forgive and they get into it and they get their healing instantaneously. I've had people before that the Lord has told me, do not pray for their healing. Do not pray for their healing. They're in bitterness and they speak wrong about other Christians. Okay. Won't do it. I'll pray for something else for them, Lord. But I'm not gonna mock God and say, be healed in the name of Jesus when I know it ain't going to work. Yeah. See, some of us Christians in the body of Christ have a love problem. And when you have a love problem, you have a life problem. Because you need your faith for your healing. You need your faith for your kids. You need your faith for your money. And some people are confessing faith things and it's hitting the ceiling and dropping right back down. Why? They're not in love. And the Bible says if you're not in love, your faith's not working. It's as simple as that. Well, bring that to the church now. Not only will it mess up your life, but what's it going to do for this body that we need this body of unified believers like they did? We need everybody on the same page. If we're walking out of love, guess what? There's no power. Yeah. And in the short time that I have left here, I want to point out a couple things of specifically of what I'm talking about with our love walk. Would that be all right with you? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. It kind of continues with what we talked about on Wednesday night. What did we talk about on Wednesday night? Well, we talked about on Wednesday night how strife's not allowed in this place. Yeah. People causing division and people causing strife, it's not going to be allowed in this place. Why? It's a divider. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 says, help if I get there. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, add to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Now look what he says in verse 7. Now remember, now before we read verse 7, look what it says in verse 8. For if these things, so what these things he's talking about adding to your life, if they're in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and can't see far off. So he's saying, you need these things to be blessed. Well, verse 7, verse 6, he said, add to patience godliness. Verse 7, to godliness, now look at this, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, there's that word charity again, translated agape in the Greek, love. So he specifically points out things that need to be added to your life are brotherly kindness and brotherly love. Now, when it's talking about brotherly love, if you're not off the hook if you say, well, I don't have a brother. Come on. It's not talking about natural brothers. It's talking about your spiritual brethren. Who are your spiritual brethren? The body and the family of Christ. They that are saved. There's only two families in the world. the family of Satan and the family of God. And the way you get out of Satan's family is to receive Jesus. When you receive Jesus, the Bible says, you become a child of God. Amen? So, there's only... The brethren he's talking about are not a natural brother and sister. In fact, Jesus always magnified the spiritual family above the natural family. Remember when they said to Jesus, that doesn't mean you neglect your natural family. Don't misunderstand me. But what has been neglected is the spiritual family. Oh, yeah. We'll go to extreme lengths for our natural family. And we'll be very patient and merciful. But at times in the house of the Lord, it's backwards. Remember when they said to Jesus, look, your brothers, your sisters, all those people here. Jesus said, no. He said, I just want you to know, my brothers, my sisters, the ones I consider my moms, they're the ones that do the will of God. He said, I'm not interested in this blood thing. Why? Because the spirit trumps the blood. The blood is natural. The natural passes away. But Jesus said, no. It's the people that are doing the will of God. They're my family. Yeah. Now, he wasn't neglecting his natural family, but he was just putting to the spotlight, into the surface, the spiritual family. And he says, we need to add to brotherly kindness and brotherly love. What's that mean? Kindness in our midst. Yeah. We're all, if we're born again, if you're not born again, you've not received Jesus, we'll give you a chance before the end of the service. But once you do that, you become a family. Ladies and gentlemen, we are all a family here. On the same page. On the same team. In God's eyes, He looks at us as His children. Amen. Go to Romans 12 and verse 9. Romans 12 and verse 9. Hallelujah. Say, what's this have to do with anything? I don't know. Your healings, your miracles, your finances... Praise God. Well, I'd like it better when you talk about faith. You can't talk about faith without talking about love. You leave love out and your faith's goner. It's the truth. You better get proficient in this area of love. Love, love me do. You know I love. Romans 12 and verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. And we'll look at that in Amplified in a second. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. But verse 10 is what I want to get to. Be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Man, I don't see that a lot of times in the churches. I see people trying to get out in front of things. I see people trying to push their agenda. I see people trying to make sure it's their own way. And the Bible says to be kindly affectionate one another in brotherly love, honoring and preferring one another. Yeah. Brotherly love. Go to Galatians 6 and verse 10. I'm not too much farther from being done, so just hold your horses. Miranda's in nursery anyways. We already know what that means. When Miranda's in nursery, she has an anointing on her that just makes me go longer. What are we eating today, Daddy? See, nobody's going to leave. We got that stuff. I'm holding you hostage with the sweets today. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Now I want you to see what God's idea of His family. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. What's that? Be loving to all men, absolutely. But notice what He says. Especially. What's he doing? Highlighting. He's saying, especially be good and do good unto those who are of the household of faith. God magnifies us over the outside world. He says, yeah, be good to the outside world, but we especially better be good to one another. What's it going to cause us to be strong and unified? Listen to what it says in the Message Bible. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all. Oh, can you imagine if our selfish little ways came through the church doors and said, you know what? I'm not here for my benefit. I'm here for the benefit of all. How can I serve around here? You know, the attitude, well, I'm not doing nursery. None of my stinking kids are in nursery. Oh, that's really preferring one another and working for the benefit of all. Don't get me started. It's the truth. Well, I'm not going to sign up for cleaning. You're glad the church is clean, though. I'm not going to sign up for cleaning. I'm not the ones making the mess. Oh, that's love. Honoring and preferring one another. If more people would stink and help around here, some of the people wouldn't have to do so much. Just saying. Just saying. He says, let us work to the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. What's he saying over and over again? Brotherly love, brotherly kindness, honoring one another, preferring one another between these walls. See, we got to get our love walk right in here. We'll never be a strong, unified force of faith that's... I mean, I want our church to be noted in heaven that, wow, that church in South Dayton... My pastor already prophesied years ago that there would be a great door of effectual, a great door of opportunity come from South Dayton... Let's be the church that actually decides to be like the book of Acts, loving one another, being selfless, being kind and affectionate to one another. And I'll go over that in a second, some specific things we can do. And that actually makes waves for eternity of signs, wonders, and miracles time and time again. Go to Psalms 133 and verse 1. Hoo-wee. Psalms 133 and verse 1. Praise God. Look at what the Lord's take is. The word is just the mind of God. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Not division. Not strife. Not against one another. Not backbiting, not gossiping, not slamming one another, not bringing the faults to the surface of somebody didn't do this in their department, somebody didn't do that in their department, and bringing it up. I don't want to hear it no more. Amen. I don't. It's garbage. It's not the way to act. We pick up the slack for one another. We love one another. We're there for one another. And when an area is missing and lacking, we can fill that void. If everybody had that mentality, that mindset, the power that would come from this place. Woo! That's what the disciples had in the book of Acts. It said none of them even thought the things that they had that were in their own ownership, they didn't even consider it their own. They said, it's for the church. I'm not telling you to give throw your title of your car in or your house in. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the level of unity they had and the power that came from that unity. Oh, man. We know nothing of it. But listen what the rest of that verse says. He says, the brethren to dwell in unity, it, what, dwelling together in unity, is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that anointment, that anointing, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Notice this, for there, everybody say there, where? There, where the unity is, commanded the blessing. The Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Let me read it in a more modern translation. It'll help you. How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down the head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands the blessing and ordains eternal life. Do you see it? Where? When we're in unity, when we're one, in love and honor and doing the word together, that's when the blessing of the Lord will come upon this place. And all the prophets' words that have been spoken of Pastor Mike's anointed this, this church anointed that, then it'll come to pass. Praise God. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. I know I should get to shutting up here, but I got to get this out. Blame Michelle. She's the one that gave me a novel. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Holy hot in here. I just took care of that. Praise God. And Saul, now this is the Apostle Paul. Who's the Apostle Paul? The writer of two-thirds of the Bible. You know, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all those, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Most of the New Testament was written by this man, but before God changed his name to Paul, his name was Saul. It says, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. and desired of him letters to Damascus, the synagogues, that he found any of the way of Jesus, whether they're men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So Saul was a nasty, nasty man. Saul was actually credited with murdering Christians. He was a Jewish man and didn't believe in this Jesus way. And the writer of two-thirds of the Bible, now you need to get this, I'm about to say something that will help you. The writer of two-thirds of the Bible used to be a murderer of Christians, and the Bible says used to breathe out threats and slaughter against the people of God. And guess what? God used him. I don't give a flooty-tooty about your past. God doesn't give a flooty-tooty about your past. He cares about you right now. You just repent for the past, and God will say, let's go. I got some good things for you up ahead. If he did it for Paul, he'll do it for you. It's just the truth. That's who this man used to be. Before he became Paul, he was nasty Saul. And so he's desiring letters from the synagogues. Give me a search warrant. Give me permission to go into these Christians' house and drag, split up families right in front of the children and drag them to prison because they're following the name of Jesus. He thought it was wrong. Well, in verse 3 it says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, oh, it's going to get good when I stand up here. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, 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 this voice from heaven. It's important that you know what this voice from heaven said. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Paul or Saul never did anything personally to Jesus on the earth. What do I mean? Jesus at this point is already in heaven. Isn't he? Yeah. He's already died, rose again, up in heaven. Yet when Paul, or Saul at the time, is messing with God's kids, Jesus takes it personal and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? What's he saying? Those are my people. When you mess with a Christian, it's just as good in God's eyes as messing with Jesus. When you badmouth a fellow Christian, because you would tell me I would never badmouth Jesus. Oh, yes, you would. I would never go out of my way to hurt Jesus. I'd never slander Jesus. I'd never gossip about Jesus. Oh, yes, you have. And yes, you would. If you talk about his children, you talk about Christians, you're not a blessing to Christians. What you're doing unto them, Jesus says, you're doing unto me. Woo! If that doesn't change some things, nothing will change you. I remember my dad had a stroke in 2004, and I moved in with him, and he was... couldn't take care of himself, and I had to do things for him that a son never thinks he's got to do for his father, you know, bathe him and change him, and I mean, just terrible bathroom messes because he just couldn't do it, and the things I had to do and wash, and just, it was an awful time, and a time of humbling for myself. And what happened over the course of time, because it changed my life so much during a space and time, it was such a hard season for me, I started to get really disgruntled towards my dad. I started to get upset with him. Now, I never physically did anything to him, but just my attitude, you know, the way I would talk to him, the way I would communicate with him, the way I would, not proud of it, the way that I would just interact with him, you know, just being sharp with my words, being annoyed, not patient. And I remember... the word of the Lord came to me in the form of a scripture, came up in my spirit. And it was in the book of Colossians, and it says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it as doing unto the Lord. So I got a brain change. Yeah. I renewed my mind, and I said, that is not my dad. Because he's a born-again believer. That's Jesus. And if Jesus was here and Jesus had an accent, I'd be so sweet. And so would you. I'd be so kind to him. I'd be so merciful to him. I'd be so loving to him. And it changed how I treated my dad, and I repented. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Repented to my dad. I said, Dad, I'm sorry for the way I've been lately. When you start looking at one another like Jesus, change some things around here. Woo-hoo-hoo. Change some of the private little chit-chats that go on. It just will. You don't understand. Those things are dividing, causing schisms, causing fractures in where we're trying to go. Heavy message, I know. I know. I want to just be done with this here. So let's close with the last two verses. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Now let me help you with something I'll say this in a second. To give people permission for something. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 it says, Put it on, therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Look at this. Forbearing one another. Not hammering one another, we do something wrong. Forbearing, what's that mean? Making allowances. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do you. That's what love looks like. Man, oh man. Now, I'll say this, and we'll close with a scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians 13:8. I'm going to shut this down. But I'm going to say, make a bold statement here. Because I can. You know what will send Pastor Mike from zero to boiling point in no time? It's when Caleb and Abby treat each other bad. See, that happens? Oh yeah, they're kids, they're human beings, they do it. And at times they get nasty to one another. And Dad raises his voice, doesn't he? And Dad steps in, doesn't put up with it. I say, this will not happen in my home. And this will not happen between my children. You are brothers and sisters. You will love one another. And I make them get up, and I make them put a smile on their face, and I make them hug. Amen. Until they start laughing. Until it gets over. Because why? It's not okay for a brother and a sister to be nasty to one another. It's not okay for you know, I'm always listening because I remember how I was to my sister. My sister loved Oreo cookies. But my sister was also claustrophobic. She still is. I didn't kill her. She's still alive. But we would be annoyed as brother and sisters. And so I thought, I know what I'll do. She was a little girl, and I threw an Oreo cookie in the bottom of a sleeping bag. And she crawled in to get that sleeping bag, and I hopped on that thing and tightened it up and made her struggle. Pre-Jesus, hold your judgment. Judgy out there. She got me back, though, during hide and seek one time. I hid in a little cupboard, and she locked it from the outside and went and did her own thing. So she got me back. One time I threw a remote control at her so hard, if it would have hit her, it would have done damage, because when it hit the wall, it damaged the wall, and it shattered that thing. And that's not going to happen. It's not acceptable. And I put my foot down as the dad, and I say, no. And so I'm always listening for Caleb, because sometimes they'll make deals, and I remember trading my sister all my terrible baseball cards for all her good ones, because she didn't know. I said, oh, yeah, that guy batting 150? You want this card. And that guy right there, where it's talking rookie of the year, that's not a good thing. I'll take that one. And so I'm always listening to make sure he's not doing that. And Abby, you know, she has her little things, and so I just working these things out. Why? It's not okay for the disunity. It's not okay to be nasty. And I'm going to say this as the dad of this church, the spiritual dad of this church, which I am. I'm just putting it out there right now. Pettiness is not allowed here. Backbiting, gossip is not going to be allowed here. It's just not going to be allowed here. You have a choice. If you want to participate and you want to partake in that kind of stuff, you are welcome to find a different church. And that's the truth. Because it's not okay. It's not okay to do that to fellow Jesus's, because that's what we are in his eyes. And it's wrecking where we're going and what God wants to do. The bickering, the gossip, the strife, the little things, you know. Now let me help people, because if someone's engaging in strife, and someone is gossiping about somebody, there is a right way to handle it. You don't go to fellow believers. Did you hear what this person's doing? This person? No, that just spreads it like wildfire. You go to the one who can take care of it and handle it. Me. And when you come to me and say, you know, so-and-so, this is what they're doing. This is what they're saying. If they're destroying our unity, you're darn right, I better know about it. And it's not gossip when you come to me and say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I heard this, and this is what's going on. That's not gossip. It's not gossip when you go to someone that can help and change the situation. It's not good to sweep it under the rug, because then the fire keeps going and going. It's not that you're trying to tattle. It's not that you're trying to hurt that person. But we need to be protectors of the unity and the love that's here. And if you get wind, someone's out running their mouth and slamming people and spreading rumors about the pastor and his family and saying things about fellow people in the church, don't go to everybody else and tell them. Go to the pastor. Please. Because we need to put that fire out. I wish you could see in the spirit of the things that I see up ahead for this church and the lives that are going to be changed. But until we decide to be lovers of one another and walk in the love that Jesus walked in, we're not going to get into these things. Why? It's the most excellent way into them. And we'll close with 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. Charity or love. Look at this. If we act in this kind of love, the God kind of love, the sacrificial, selfless, honoring, preferring one another kind of love, the forgiving, the affectionate, the forbearing, the kind, the not little, no little cliques in this place. I hug everybody and love everybody the same in this place. I shouldn't see certain people only hugging certain people of the church, and yet other people of the church, they don't even know their name, they haven't even talked to them, because we got these little cliques. Garbage, not allowed here. We ought to be reaching out and loving and hugging everybody and being so kind to every single one of every single person. Amen. New people that come through the door. We should, my personality. No, we should flock. Who are you? I'm whoever. And I'm glad you're here. And God's got a good plan for your life. And things are about to be different for you. Amen. It's the truth. Yeah. I'm passionate about this because I love God's people and I love God's plan. Amen. And we have a place to go. And the Bible says love never fails. If we'll walk in this love, we will not fail and we will accomplish everything. Oh, let's be the miracle church. But if we're the miracle church, that means we're going to be the love church as well. Were you helped today? Not mad at anybody. Not bitter or anything. Just saying, we got to get some things done. Let's pray. Father, we just love you so much and glorify you. Thank you for the word this morning. I know I went a little bit long, but it was good anyways. Good housekeeping stuff, you know. Families have family talks. We have places to go. This church is ordained. Let me tell you something, with heads bowed and eyes closed, you are part of a church that is ordained to do great things. You are a part of a church that is going to see Book of Acts type things happen. So we all have a responsibility to walk in this God kind of love. We all have a responsibility to do what the Word says to do and to act in a way that the Word says to act. So, Father, I pray people would make adjustments. I pray people would strive to be a lover like you were, Jesus, so kind and merciful and compassionate, not engaging in strife, not engaging in gossip, not being selfish and what can the church give to me, but what can I bring to the church? That's the power that's going to create power around this place when we have those attitudes. So I think you're making heart corrections and heart adjustments. Now, if I could ask everybody to make sure to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question. If you have not listened to anything that I've said all day, please listen to this. If today were your last day on planet Earth, if today were your last day on planet Earth, would you go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. Because I know it's not fun to think about, but you look in the obituary, someone's going every day. And someday, if Jesus doesn't come back first, our day will come too. When that happens, will you go to heaven? Ask yourself that. And if your answer isn't a 100% yes, I'd go to heaven, I want to make it so you can go to heaven. I want to make it so you can walk into the things that God has for you. And it's simple. God made getting to heaven easy. You never even have to step foot in this church again. It's not about church attendance. It doesn't matter how much you go to church or how little you go to church. It doesn't matter what your past has been, whether you've been a good person, a moral person, or an immoral person. That's not it either. The Bible says if you receive Jesus, how do you receive Jesus? You believe in Him and you speak and you confess that He's Lord and Savior. The Bible says you'll be saved. That's it. Not about going to church, not about your good deeds, not about how much money you've given or how much money you haven't given. It's about Jesus. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, I won't have anybody come forward, stand up or say anything on your own. Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass anybody. But if you're here and you say, Pastor, I want to know Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, it's the first step for your life being different. Because when you accept Jesus, you become a child of God, and God's a good dad. But you got to receive Jesus. Your good works won't get you in. Your bad works can't keep you out. Your church attendance can't keep you in, and your lack of church attendance can't keep you out. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus here this morning, we won't embarrass you. Nobody's looking around. Would you just lift your hand high in the air and then put it right back down? Anybody at all? I see that hand. I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that you didn't raise your hand that you want to? Now you see that pastor's really not going to embarrass me. Anybody else that wants to receive Jesus before we close the service? If you've already raised your hand, you don't have to do it again. Father, we had multiple hands. Now, it's not the raising of the hand that gets you saved, because if that were the case, then shy people or nervous people, maybe they wouldn't be able to get to heaven. Or people listening online, I wouldn't see their hands being raised. It's what you believe in Jesus. So if you're here and you didn't raise your hand, that's okay. You can be included. And if you're online and I can't see your hand, that's okay. The Bible says just believe in Jesus. But for those of you that raised your hand, those of you that should have, or those of you listening online right now that want to be a part of this, there's just one step left. It's asking Jesus into your heart. He's not the SWAT team. He's not a thief. He doesn't break in. He wants to be invited. Now, I promised you I wouldn't embarrass you or have you come forward or say anything on your own, and I won't. But we need to pray a prayer inviting him into your heart. You don't have to come up with the words. I'll just ask you to repeat after me. And the context of that prayer is going to be declaring your belief in Jesus and asking him to come into your heart. Now, if you're here and you raised your hand, or if you should have raised your hand, along with everybody else in the church, we don't want people having to say things on their own. Everybody, including those that raised their hand and should have, open your mouth and pray this after me and mean it with all your heart. Say this, say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you can look up here. We're going to take communion in a second. If you prayed that for the first time, I did that on January 10th, 2002. Now, if I would have never stepped foot in a church, I would have gone to heaven, because the Bible says you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. You have to receive Jesus. You can go to heaven without church, but listen to me. You can never walk into all the good things that God has for you on this earth without a pastor. The Bible says so. I'm here to tell you, if you prayed that for the first time, God wants to do things in your life that you never imagined, and I can help get you into those things. Amen? I promise you. I wouldn't lie to you. And if you don't come back here, go somewhere where your heart's telling you, plant there, hear the Bible, do the Bible, and watch things begin to change. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, in a second, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, and we're going to take up communion. This is a time where we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, the bread representing his body, the juice representing his blood that was shed for us. It's not a time to be talking or conversing, and kids, you know, stay reverent. It's a time to be worshiping him and thinking about what he's done. So brothers, come forward. Josh, can you put that song on for us that we usually play? Go ahead and serve the people. Hallelujah. And just worship him. Thank you, sir. Praise you, Lord, and bless you. Glorify your holy name. Praise your name. Oh, Jesus, the plan that you have for people is so good. We thank you. We thank you for the past. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that plan that you have for people. How you want to come in and radically change somebody's world. Bless them beyond belief. Things that they never thought were possible. That's what you want to do. Through your death, burial, and resurrection, we have life eternal. But we also have abundant life, Father. Heaven on earth life. And I thank you for it. I pray that people would be a doer, Father, and they would listen. And they'd see my life and see the dramatic and radical change that you've had in my life. And the people here that are so passionate to amen and to be excited because they've experienced. I pray that the people that are on the outside looking in would dive in after today. And they'd watch you work. They'd watch you be faithful. They'd watch your power change their life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We honor you, Lord, and praise you. Just thank Him for what He's done for you and what He's going to do for you. He's not done with you yet. He's got some good things up ahead that will blow your mind. He's a mind-blowing type of Jesus. Praise God. Glory to God. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I was delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's go ahead and break the bread and go ahead and eat. Lord, we thank you that the bread represents your body being broken. The Bible says the stripes that were laid on your body were for our healing. So we thank you for healing through the body of Christ. We praise you for it. In verse 25, it says, "After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes with strength." And Lord, I thank you that the juice represents the blood that was shed for our forgiveness of sins. And every time we ask you to forgive us, that blood is still working. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. Let's just stand to our feet before we dismiss and give him thanks. Lord, we love you today. We're so grateful and so thankful for your mercy. And so thankful for your kindness. Thank you for everything you've done for us. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're dismissed, you can pass your cups towards the center. The ushers will get them. We'll see you Wednesday night, 6:30. You are dismissed.